Chapter 16.
The fuck?
The guy says, clutching his nose, blood soaking his vest as he starts to get up. He thinks better of it when he hears the icy, metallic schlock, Claude ratcheting back the slide on the big old 45. The two men eye each other for the first time in 5 or so years. One breathing hard, raging, staring up at the other through stinging pain and streaming eyes. Claude, in his turn, is trembling, the enormity dawning on him. This moment he has so long dreamt of, finally having arrived.
This is for Mama, Claude says as he levels the pistol and starts to pull the trigger,
the guy's eyes widening. Then the door is swinging open, Jesus saying, "Hey there! Problem, buddy?" A stunned pause, Claude's eyes briefly shifting to Jesus, the gun staying on the man on the floor.
"This ain't none of your business, mister," Claude says to Jesus.
"I hear you, man." JC closes the door softly behind him and moves into the center of the room, taking it all in.
"Sorry I followed you and all. I just had the feeling, you know."
"You can stay if you want to see him die," Claude says, all his focus back on the bloody mess on the floor.
Okay. Mind if I ask why you're going to kill your cousin, Claude?"
"Ain't no cousin," Claude says.
"Claude?"
the man says nasally, a blood bubble forming and popping on his nose.
"He's my daddy."
A pause while everyone takes this in. The man moans.
"That's so?"
Jesus says, quite close to Claude now.
"You try and take this gun off me, I'll kill you too," Claude says.
"I believe you," Jesus says.
"Listen, son," Claude's father begins.
"You shut your fucking mouth, you piece of shit,"
Claude snaps, pointing the gun right at him, the hammer cocked, his finger trembling, hovering over the trigger.
"Claude," Jesus says, calmly, quietly, "I'm just wondering, what you gonna do after you kill him?"
"Huh?" "Kill myself."
Claude says this as though Jesus were a moron for not realizing it. Might as well have added, "of course."
"Right, right," Jesus says. "Now, why would you go and do that? Think about your mom, the farm."
"Ain't no mom, ain't no farm. 'Cause of this fucker here."
He's addressing his father now.
"What happened to your mom, Claude?" Jesus asks gently.
"Died last month. Drank herself to death after he left us. Took her 5 years, with the Vicodin and the whiskey, and I tried to get her to stop, but she, and the corn went bad. The bank put us in foreclosure.
The kid's losing it now, fighting tears, trying to keep his rage on the boil.
"I couldn't manage it on my own. We couldn't afford no help. This fucker never sent us a dime. It's all gone. You hear me, you fucking bastard?"
His finger tightening again, his father flattening himself further into the wall, remembering well the hair trigger on that old gun.
She wouldn't eat. She just stopped eating. Up in her room, crying, drinking. I tried. Weren't nothing left of her in the end. Skin and bone."
The tears coming.
"My poor mama. What am I gonna do now?"
The room very quiet now, except for Claude sobbing.
"Claude?" Jesus says softly. "Look at me, Claude."
Claude turns and meets JC's gaze through his tears, the quavering gun staying on his father.
"Would your mama read to you when you were little?"
"Read?"
"Yeah, stories and things."
"Sometimes."
"Remember sitting in her lap, her chin resting on the top of your head, your hair smelling so good to her? Remember that? It was maybe bedtime, or you just had your bath. You were just perfect cheer, Mama, you know?
JC's voice slow and hypnotic as he gets closer, Claude getting lost in that pacific gaze.
You think she'd want to see you putting a bullet through that beautiful head? All your brains and everything all blowing out through a hole? She only wants you to be happy.
She's gone.
Just for a while. You'll see her soon enough. But not yet, man. Not like this.
You don't know that.
Oh, man. You gotta trust me on this one.
I ain't no good for nothing.
You're a farmer, Claude. That's about the best thing you can be.
Ain't no farm no more.
He's really crying.
Well, we're gonna take care of that, too, somewhere down the road.
Claude, looking into the eyes of this guy he's only known a few days. This guy sounding so calm, so certain.
You promise?
Claude sounding 5 years old as he says this.
Come here, son.
The kid collapses, sobbing, into Jesus' arms, burying his face in his chest, the gun dropping down by his side. Claude's father sees his chance and springs forward. Before he's even on his feet, JC has whipped the gun up and is pointing it straight at him again. Sorry, sir, if you could just sit back down. He speaks to the man while still cradling Claude, the boy's tears hot against JC's neck. I understand this has been a traumatic evening for you, but it's nearly over. Now, embarrassingly, we find ourselves short of gas money, so I'm going to have to ask you to lend me the contents of that wallet I can see on top of the TV set there. I've got your address memorized, so I'll be happy to reimburse you once we're on our feet again. Or, in light of recent events, you could take the view that you're perhaps long past due in sending your son here some maintenance, in which case we could consider the money Claude's, and I'll make sure he gets it back. What do you reckon?
Just take it,
Claude Sr. says through blood and shame.
Much obliged, sir, Jesus says.
They pawn the gun, too, and there's enough to fill that big tank. Claude crying for a long time in the back seat between Jesus and Becky as they drive across Arizona all through the night. Just one rest stop somewhere past Phoenix, Chris gunning the engine into the home stretch, and then, all at once, they're taking the 110 west into Santa Monica, the ocean appearing out of nowhere, looking sudden and beautiful in the morning light, like it has to millions of tired pilgrims before them.